would you please join with me with the prayer of illumination? Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, with these gifts, the Reformers invited all of us to study and interpret Scripture. May we receive your word, gracious God, and let it stir in our hearts and shape us anew. Amen. Hebrew scripture today is from Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing now. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, and the jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to all my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Herein is wisdom.
And from the Gospel, according to John, chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Herein is good news. Praise be to God. Can you see water? Can you see the Kalahari? Can you see hundreds and hundreds of wildebeest? This is the Okavango Delta in northern Botswana. Susan and I were privileged to sit in silence at sunset over the Okavango Delta in northern Botswana, and we watched as giraffes and elephants and zebra and jackals and ostriches came to the water's edge, having migrated through the hot and arid Kalahari to the place where the water flows like rivers in the desert, quenching thirst, soothing parched lips, easing the anxiety of survival. The Okavango Delta is fed by the waters that come from the northern hills and mountains of Angola. It flows south and pours into the Okavango, making it one of the world's only inland deltas. The very cool thing is that the spring rains that arrive on the slopes of the northern Angolan mountains form the floodwaters which over the months flow south and arrive at exactly the time the dry season comes into the Kalahari, thus providing the exhausted creatures the spa-like qualities of an inland delta. And here the wild animals honor their creator, and we mere mortals can scarcely take it in. The dangerous toll of the migration is past. The long trek to water is over. The young frolic, the old ones rest. Those on watch keep one eye open in the presence of refreshing newness. There is no consideration of what is past, because newness springs forth. There is quite simply the full presence and blessing of the moment, a natural sense of gratitude. And we humans, privy to the miracle of what we witness, having dipped our cup in the pure waters of the Delta, declare praise to our Maker. And that's true. When Susan and I were in the canoes through the Okavango, the guide said, "Dip your cup into the river and drink." We said, "No, no." But he said, "Oh, yes, because the water is filtered and made pure by the reeds and all the sands and everything that works in nature's way to make the water as pure as it can be, one of the few places on the planet where you can do that." If there was ever a place on earth that captures the imagination of the prophet Isaiah, I would cast my vote for the Okavango. It's featured in this month's National Geographic, by the way. In the context of such natural wonder, one cannot help but seize the essence of God's new thing and the spaciousness to perceive it. Says author Terry Chapman in our book that we're following, Sabbath Pause, "When Isaiah delivered the promise of water in the desert, the people of Israel were languishing in foreign exile. Think of how their imaginations must have been stirred when they heard the words of Isaiah. The imagination has been called the highest power of the knowing mind. It is the power by which we sort and shape all the disparate elements of our world by using images and symbols and stories and rituals. As we seek to find meaning and purpose for our lives, it helps to nurture a habit of imagination, the capacity to perceive God's new thing as if it were a river flowing in the desert." This is the practice of Sabbath. Procuring the habit of imagination, fine-tuning the art of perception, creating room for awareness of God's new thing. It's like a river flowing in the desert, away in the wilderness. When we discover this, we dip our cup into it, taste and perceive its newness, freshness, and purity. And well then, all that's left is merely to behold it and allow it to begin the work of transformation. But first, we need to sit down. We need to become aware of our running around and sit down. whether we're running from grief and loss and tragedy, or whether we're running towards more stuff as a source of temporary comfort, whether we're running away from pain and suffering and headlong into addiction, whether we're running for the sake of running because we fear what might happen if we stop, perhaps collapse or breakdown or a sudden unplanned excursion into the territory of loneliness or flat-out fatigue. Whether we're running for the sake of running because we fear what might happen if we stop, we need to sit down and rest by God's cooling desert waters. I wish you could experience the movement in this photo. I wish you could imagine gazelles and antelope frolicking in the water up to their knees, splashing and playing, delighting. An invitation to play and to rest by God's cooling desert waters. It's not about pondering the things of old or matters of the past. It's not about living in the church of our childhood or the days when. A Sabbath sit down is about perceiving what God's new thing is and creating room for God to spark our imagination. This is both an individual and a community practice. We're not meant to do this always by ourselves, but in the context of the company of one another. So I agree with Terry Chapman when he says, and I quote, "I believe imagining a new world is a primary task of the church." I know that sounds rather lofty, but there's no doubt in my mind that engaging the prophet's imagination and creating room for it to work in the mind and heart of the congregation is exactly what helps bring about God's new thing and the capacity to be even more in service to the world. So I believe this to be our Sabbath work, to sit down and take time to pray, to pause, reflect, wonder, wait, and discern. Yeah, to be intentional about that, and to make time to rest, ponder and partake in God's imagination. I would say this is critical for our collective well-being and our wider community. I see a lot of busyness and running around, partly because work life and job security has become complicated and filled with excessive and sometimes invasive demands. And of course, there's a whole host of other pressing reasons that would keep us from sitting down, but I submit, at what cost? At what cost to our imagination? At what cost to our capacity to dream and to wonder? At what cost to a more soul-filled purpose? Or shall we just keep running? Fortunately, John's gospel reminds us that we're not alone in this. The wisdom of the tradition reminds us that we are not designed to take on the world's problems all by ourselves. That's especially important for caregivers. So, as an antidote to that, God sends us the Spirit. Do you remember that piece, that very early verse in John's gospel? "I'm sending you my advocate." It's a curious word to describe the Spirit. God sends us the Spirit, our advocate, to come alongside us as we seek the soul's path and its capacity to alert us to God's new thing. What matters to me and Susan is that we keep our Sabbath work, our soul's desire, our yearning for God's desert waters front and center in our lives, no matter our station in life. It boils down to a matter of trusting the wisdom of our faith, that we are not alone, that it's not all up to us, that it is all about God's powerful imagination at work in us that can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Sabbath is designed to create room for God's imagination in our life so that we can perceive the new thing, so that we can dip our cup into God's refreshing waters, so that we can marvel and wonder at what God does and can do, so that we might all proclaim our praise at the desert water's edge, just like all these creatures. And everyone said, Amen.